Welcome back to the Charlie Intel podcast. My name is Mike Kent. I'm joined here, of course, by Keshav Bhatt, who, if you don't know, is the man who is regularly behind the Charlie Intel account and has been for the last 8 years. Keshav, we've got a lot to discuss this week. Obviously, we're coming off the back of the Cold War launch. Now, this is the latest game from Treyarch. It's got mixed reviews, to put it lightly, really. There's a lot of people dislike it, a lot of people like it. It's very polarizing. In this week's episode, we're going to have a bunch of discussion around Cold War, including stuff around the weapons, whether stuff needs nerfed or buffed. We're also going to be talking about record sales for the game, especially digitally. We're going to be talking a little bit about CDL news, including the likes of Optic Back. And then we've also got a fantastic interview with VicStar123, talked about his sort of time playing Warzone, what makes it so special, and a bunch of other content. So Keshav, how much have you been playing of Cold War so far?
Yeah, I've been playing all weekend long, you know, but as soon as it came out on Thursday night, throughout the whole weekend, leveling up in multiplayer, it's been a blast so far.
Yeah, I've not personally played too much of the game. I'm a little on the undecided side of it, but I've also been incredibly busy at the same time. So Keshav, what were your impressions of the game?
Yeah, I mean, I think first off, you know, big congrats to Treyarch and all the dev teams on getting out a game in 2020 and how crazy it's been. You know, I think the first impressions that I had was the fact that the number of maps are very limited. You know, we basically played six of the 6v6 maps in the beta, and there's only two new ones at launch, which was a little shocking. You know, we've seen Treyarch and other games have about 10 or more 6v6 maps, but the recent trend in Call of Duty has been a reduction in map size. And so I think, you know, one of the first reactions I've seen on social is that people are getting bored of the maps already, right? I mean, there's eight maps. We played six extensively in the beta, so you only have two more new ones to learn. And so the maps, I think, are lacking a little bit on that front. You know, there's no excitement. There's not a lot of energy in these maps. It feels like some of these maps are kind of, you know, the classic Treyarch style, but others are just ridiculously big. You know, Cartel, they need to, you know, call a lawn mowing service still. They didn't do that after the beta. It still has all the scenery just as it is. But I'd say, you know, gameplay wise, it's what you expect from Treyarch, right? I mean, it has their feel, their, you know, animations, their techniques and everything. I think the gameplay-wise, if you love a Treyarch game, you're loving this game. I think that's no surprise there for Treyarch fans over all these years.
My first impressions on it, I'm playing on the PS4 Pro. I think it looks trash. I think it looks terrible. Now, when I've watched people play it on PC, I think, or PS5, it does look a lot better. So I can understand that maybe it's just the graphical capability of the PS4, but it's not great. I found it really off-putting, and I actually went back to play Warzone and I thought the graphics looked a lot better, so a bit disappointed in that front. But like a number of my other friends who are playing as well, the gameplay is good, but it's just, yeah, I don't know what it is about the graphics, kind of puts me off a little bit. I know it shouldn't be everything, but I like the time to kill in multiplayer. I think it allows for kind of a little bit more of a strategic movement. You know, you can get shot and get away with it. Whereas, you know, if you get shot in Modern Warfare, you're pretty much dead straight away. So what was the general community reaction then from the Charlie Intel audience?
Yeah, I think the first reaction was limited number of maps. Second, I'd say there was a lot of comment about the performance on, as you just mentioned, PS4 versus next gen. It's definitely clear that this game was built for next gen consoles and PC compared to the PS4 and Xbox One. So that performance gap is quite obvious and quite, you know, glaring. You know, I got a PS5, and since I've played on PS5 compared to the PS4 beta, it's a massive difference. It plays better, it looks better. You know, there's no weird glitches, no frame drops that I experienced on the PS4. So definitely a next-gen focus. And I've seen the audience agree with that too, that the next-gen version is a lot better than current-gen experience overall. And I think overall first impressions is that it's a Treyarch game. It has its ups, but also it has some glaring issues that hopefully the Treyarch team can address as the year goes on, in terms of lacking in content and overall just performance of the game.
Yeah, I also played that Fire Team mode. And I mean, I had no idea what I was doing, and I don't think any of my teammates knew what they were doing. It just seemed like a really messy, confused war zone. It was plundering war zone for people that played the respawn
mode. You need a team of four. You need a full party of friends, and then you go in that mode. If you go with randoms and they don't have mics on, it's a very difficult mode to play.
Yeah, I found that really difficult, especially it didn't seem very clear that where to get more ammo for some reason. And I had yet to level the guns up, it was like taking a long time to, you know, I was basically running out of bullets pretty quick and having to pick up weapons off the floor. Also, a lot of the movement stuff, like the doors and the weapon picking up mechanics, awful. So they need some serious improvement in fire team mode. Multiplayer, obviously, it's fine. Doesn't have doors, doesn't have the pickup system, or not to that extent anyway. So let's have a look at what some of the pro players and personalities thought about the game.
This game right here is truly addicting. Like, I could play this game all day long. I haven't had this much fun on a Call of Duty since, I'd say, Call of Duty Black Ops 3. Honestly, like, it's been that long for me, guys. And the reason I like this game so much is because there's not that much bullshit in it, you know? Like, it's just a normal Call of Duty. Everything is there.
Yeah, this multiplayer is actually pretty fun. Honestly, I might make some classes and actually play a bit.
Oh, first day Call of Duty.
It feels like Christmas, man.
Have you guys felt like a difference in lobbies from day to day or no?
No.
Because like during the beta, you'd get like 3 hard matches, then you get like a kind of easy one. I don't know, it's weird.
I might not play that again until there's like rank mode or GBs or something. Pub matches are just like, oh man. Oh.
I can see why thus far, why people think the game feels a little clunkier than Modern Warfare. Like I get it. Just the movement seems a little more stiff. And I think people just need to get used to it again.
So obviously a mix of positive and negative feedback. I think someone like Sensor, he's finding it addictive, but he's also probably playing with he's playing with people, he's communicating a lot. I think that makes a massive difference when you're playing multiplayer, and something that I've been playing alone a lot, it has been a bit of a struggle to get into it more when he's playing in kind of competitive environments, etc. But it's also great to see people like Tim the Tap Man getting kind of behind it, saying this is fun. And of course, I didn't really expect the doc to be anything but a little cynical about ranked play. So, and actually talking of ranked play, an interesting discussion between Scump and David Vonderhaar, where basically Scump said, "I don't understand how ranked play is not in the game or any Call of Duty." And Vonderhaar kind of replied with this sarcastic tweet going, "Oh, let me change the tweet for you. You know, I'm so glad people are trying really hard at Treyarch." I thought that was a bit of a weird tweet, and actually it kind of set Scump off on a chain of events that ended up him kind of coming out and saying that the CDL had fined him for playing a Shadow Raids Legend or something game on sponsored stream. So it was a bit of a backfire on Vaughn. Actually, a lot of people were replying saying, you know, I don't really understand what you're saying here. But one of the most interesting parts of the discussion was Crimzix there. So Crimzix, as we know, world champion, three-time world champion, and currently playing for Dallas Empire. Now, a lot of people have been saying the sniper sucks on Twitter, and he's actually come out and said the complete opposite and says that basically they're way too overpowered, and he's basically saying that they're ruining the game. So there's obviously been a few weapons that they've kind of identified so far, the MP5, sniper, and the FFAR. So where do you stand on this, Keshav? What's your opinion on the weapon balance issues?
Yeah, so I mean, last week we were able to play early things for like a review event we had earlier last week. And one of the first things that I immediately noticed was the MP5, because it's the first gun you get on the SMGs. And so I selected that. I was like, why not? Let's try this out. And man, that thing shreds. It was good in the beta, but the real game, like, it's a different level of how good it is. And I just kept using it because I was like, you know, it's something must be wrong. Maybe I'm using the right attachments. I just kept using it. And then I started noticing everyone in every lobby started using it too. Like, everyone put all the other guns away. It's just MP5 mess. And so I just kept using the MP5. I was like, this is fantastic. I think my MP5 is at level like 30, 31 now or 32 already. That's all I used. You know, I went from the MP5 back to the, I think it's the XM4, just kind of switching back and forth between those two. But I just kept going back to the MP5 because every lobby is just MP5s. You know, you just go into a game of Hardpoint, you end up on the Hardpoint location, and there it's like 6 MP5 shooting at you. Like, what are you supposed to do here? No choice but to use it. So MP5, definitely a huge problem. But yeah, the sniper situation is interesting, right? I know in the beta, a lot of people had a lot of comments about, you know, sniping was too easy for some people. Some people said it was too challenging. You know, I personally am not a sniper. I think the last time I really sniped was Modern Warfare 2 with the Intervention. But in these recent games, I've been more of an SMG or AR player. But I'd say the sniper does feel, I think it is overpowered. I would say that because...
One-shot kill, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's not just the one shot kill. I just think it just feels a lot easier in this game in terms of quick scoping, right? There's people who are just head glitching and killing people across the map with snipers, where in Modern Warfare it felt like it needed some skill to it. And it feels like Infinity Ward games need some skill behind sniping, while Treyarch, it's like, it feels okay, but people can just pick up and go for it. So I think that balance is a little off with the snipers there.
Yeah, and obviously we've had a update from Tony Flynn, and he's basically said that there will be weapon, score streak, and more balance changes coming in Season 1, if not sooner. Already seeing some interesting trends in the analytics, but it's too soon for conclusions. If you're giving feedback, know that we see it and are taking it into consideration. So good tweet by Tony there. By the time this podcast comes out, there's probably going to have been an update. So we can't comment too much on that. Let's watch a few clips now of the MP5 and just how much it has been shredding.
Bro, look at the kill feed. It's just all MP5s. It's MP5, MP5, yeah. MP5.
There's MP5 on A, by the way.
I didn't play in the beta, but all people kept saying was how viable the guns were. And the MP5 is literally
so much better.
The golden gun. The shit just, you cross map, kill close range, mobility on it's crazy.
So another weapon that we've seen a lot of people use, and especially the pro players, which is a good indication, is the FFAR, which is also known as the FAMAS. The FAMAS, of course, was pretty dominant weapon in Black Ops 1. And it's pretty interesting to see that it's back and it seems to be dominating once again. Have you had a chance to use it all, Keshav?
Yeah, I use it a little bit, but I thought the recoil was too high on it, but it looks like people are actually finding it to be very nice and very overpowered so far.
So a really interesting thing we found out with Black Ops Cold War is just the amount of people that are downloading digitally. And essentially, Activision has said that Black Ops Cold War day one digital sales were the highest in franchise history. And I quote, Friday's release of Black Ops Cold War set a new record as the highest first day digital sales worldwide in franchise history. We look forward to delivering an incredible amount of free post-launch content, events, and support for the entire community as the Black Ops Cold War evolves, just as it did last year following the release of Modern Warfare. So Keshav, it's really no surprise that this is the case.
Yeah, it's not no surprises here. I'd say what's interesting is the trend that Activision is seeing to digital downloads, which is huge for them because they do get more money from digital sales compared to retail sales. So, you know, every year we're seeing higher and higher value and more players going for the digital options compared to retail, which is, you know, what Activision wants at the end of the day. I think this year it's even less of a surprise just because of how many bonus content pieces were tied to digital orders this time. You know, last time they had that, you know, the NVG goggles edition and all that stuff. This year there was no physical collector's edition. It was, you know, the three digital editions and then that standard edition that you can buy on Amazon and stuff like that. So yeah, you know, they're touting that as a big sales number. I will say that they didn't give any actual sale revenue figure, which is different in the years past. You know, with Modern Warfare, they said the opening weekend got $600 million in sales. This year, they're just saying day one had the highest digital sales so far. So whether this sold as well as Modern Warfare will be interesting to see overall. But I think for Activision, they're probably very happy with how the sales are trending so far, especially with Warzone updates still to come.
Yeah, I think as well as we kind of see, you know, put the pandemic aside where people are obviously not going out to get physical copies as much. But also, you know, you've got the likes of the PlayStation 5 digital version, which, you know, it doesn't have a disc drive. And I think that's pretty much going to be the norm. We all know that it's basically dead in the music industry. It's going to be dead in video games very, very soon. So no surprise, but it's, you know, at least it's I guess it's a positive spin. It's good news that at least, you know, it's broken some records. And, you know, I think this game, as it evolves over time, especially as the more Warzone integration comes in, I think we're going to see a lot more downloads of it. I think we're going to see probably could be basically one of the most popular Call of Duties of all time, which, you know, I'm fine with, to be honest.
Yeah. I think just how Modern Warfare was successful, right? Because, I mean, Activision keeps talking about how Modern Warfare upgrades being available in that Warzone menu. I think as soon as that Warzone integration happens in December and they start advertising Black Ops Cold War, you know, upgrades, features, and weapons in Warzone, you'll see a massive, I think, upgrade to the full game and full experience. And so, yeah, I think this game will sell really well going into the end of this year and next year.
So there's been some exciting news in the world of the Call of Duty League and esports. That's right. The green wall is back.
It's back. Now, I say that, and even now today, and I was talking to Hitch about this, like even now to this day, when I talk about Optic, or like it still doesn't feel real and it still hasn't set in. Obviously, it's day one, maybe hour 5 of the actual announcement, but you know, it's been quite the journey for me to do this. So it'll be surreal for the next couple. Well, it won't feel real for the next couple of days, but as soon as we start, you know, getting going with all the activities that we're about to do, then we'll be fine.
So for the last few months, Keshav, it's been teased that Optic Gaming would return. You know, there's been leaks, there's been rumors. And of course, we've had confirmation that the LA Thieves as well are going to be taking over the Optic Gaming LA spot. Now, there's a lot of speculation. There's people coming out claiming they had sources. They're obviously very unreliable sources claiming that Optic wasn't going to be able to move from Los Angeles and that 100 Thieves weren't interested. That obviously got all proved to be false. LA Thieves have now taken over the Optic LA spot, and it's goodbye to the Huntsman brand, at least in the way that it was previously. And it's hello, Optic Chicago. Got to make sure you get it the right way around, or Hex will shout at you. Keshav, I know that you aren't the biggest esports fan in the world, but you obviously do know a lot about competitive COD regardless. Optic's a big brand. Are you pleased to see them back?
Yeah.
Or back, I mean, in the right ownership anyway.
Yeah. Green Wall is back. You know, I started watching Call of Duty back with Nateshot, you know, esports, back in Call of Duty XP. So Hex and then Big Timer followed them all through their whole journey. So seeing Green Wall back is incredibly exciting. And, you know, it's beyond just the Green Wall being back. It's just so good for Call of Duty in general, right? Having these big brands like 100 Thieves and Optic, really well-known brands, you know, back in the league. I think 2021 season is shaping up to be, I think, probably a very exciting season in terms of not just, you know, the action with Call of Duty, but with the actual viewership numbers and overall brand awareness for them.
Yeah, look, when the CDL was first announced, obviously the Overwatch League had a decent year or two. It's kind of fallen off a little bit if you look at the recent statistics. It depends on what statistics you look at, of course. I'm sure Activision will point you to some other figures that show other things. But, you know, the CDL was meant to be kind of like it almost seemed like it was below the OWL. But now it seems like it's kind of ascended above it. You know, we've got these we've got the big names back in. The Activision have obviously realized that you need the brands like the Optics, the Phasers, the 100 Thieves in Call of Duty. And I think it's just in a really exciting place for this franchise league. And, you know, as you say, this year, it could be the biggest ever. Last year, we saw record viewership, especially when it was moving over to, even when it moved over to YouTube, which people thought there'd be a drop off. We're getting more people interested. You're getting stuff like watch parties with content creators, people like Vicstar, who we're going to talk to after this. And it's just, it's incredible to see where the CDL's gone. And I'm really excited actually to see where it goes. But yeah, couldn't be happier for Hector. Obviously, he's a friend of mine and just really pleased that he's got Optic back. You know what I mean? I know for the last few years, he just hasn't been the same when he's not really been in charge. But he's fully in charge now. He's got the brand back. And I think you can see it. It's almost like he's got a spring back in his step. And the same with people like Scump. You know, he is Optic Scumpy. That's where he made his name. So it's great to see him back, seeing back Optic Scumpy's back. And, you know, those people are going to be Optic forever, basically. Okay, we're going to throw over to an interview that I've done with Vicstar, which was super interesting. I've never had a chance to speak to Vicstar properly before, so it was great to kind of learn his insight on Call of Duty. You can tell he's an incredibly smart guy, and it's great to see that he's kind of representing the Sidemen in the gaming world and really kind of come into his own in Warzone.
I got it.
Okay.
Save me. Bro, I came in like Batman then. Did you see that? Welcome to a brand new Warzone video. We did it. We broke our kill record, dropping 64 kills. Holy shit, boys! 64! 60 bomb! I've broken the kill record on COD Warzone. Holy! Boys! What did we just do? What did we just do?
This week on the Charlie Intel podcast, as our special guest, we have none other than Vicstar, now of the London Royal Ravens CDL team, and also well known for his time in the Sidemen. And actually, he's also known as one of the highest prize money winning players in Warzone as well. So, Vic, thanks for coming on. It's a pleasure. Now, let's quickly talk about Warzone and your winnings. So, coming into Warzone, I don't think people would have put your name as one of the people likely to be winning prize money at the top, just because you are, generally speaking, a lot more into content creation than playing like competitively. So, how did that come about?
No, so first of all, you're spot on. I wouldn't have even put myself down as it. Maybe probably 12, 13 years ago, I decided competitive gaming wasn't for me, and I decided to become a content creator I remember very vividly around the Modern Warfare 2 era and before Black Ops, the first Black Ops came out. I remember kind of sitting and a lot of my friends were playing game battles and winning a little bit of money. Some of my friends were making YouTube videos and I had to think, okay, what are you going to be? What are you going to do? And I decided to make content. And then amazingly, through the resurgence of Call of Duty and Warzone and kind of, I guess, streamer popularity really, having, I guess, actually, I would say that it really grew in H1Z1 and PUBG. It blew up in Fortnite and it was a part of gaming culture. By the time Warzone came around, that gave me a really unique angle where I could compete against other content creators. And it was more important how many viewers you're driving and how many viewers you can get on the tournaments rather than your pure raw level of skill. Yeah. So I was fortunate in that. And it wasn't something that I expected, but I really enjoyed competing in that environment against players in public lobbies. It adds a bit more of that kind of randomness element to it.
Sure.
But a really kind of entertaining format through those tournaments. And it wasn't something I expected, but I really enjoyed being able to kind of come full circle on that decision I made right at the start of my career and actually be able to do two things at once, which is kind of the way it goes now. Everyone has to be creating content, streaming, and also competing. They're almost the same thing at the moment.
It's very much a blurred line, isn't there, between content creator and competitive player, especially in the Warzone BR arena, because it's like, you know, maybe public, private matches, which are, I'm interested to hear your thoughts on, maybe that will change, and then suddenly it becomes about who is the most skilled. But at the moment, it's like, who's the best at winning public matches, isn't it? Do you think that plays into your favor?
Definitely. I think it's one part of it is... there's kind of more of an overarching strategy in that, which I quite enjoy. Yeah. I'd like to think that while I'll be perfectly honest, I'm not the sharpest shot. I'm not the, you know, the most gifted with my movement in the game. I'm perfectly comfortable and happy saying that. But one thing I feel like has been a unique strength in Warzone is having so many hours in public lobbies, understanding where's a good place to rotate, which fights you should push, which fights you shouldn't. And I feel like I've always kind of partnered up with more skilled players than myself. But I'd like to think that kind of a lot of the decision-making actually comes from me and kind of Wars, who I won Warzone Wednesday 3 times in a row with, kind of said that himself. He said, like, I appreciate kind of you calling the shots. And then for him, it's just a question of winning every gunfight. And then, you know, he doesn't, and I'm saying, let's go here, let's go there, let's loot that, let's buy this. So I would say that that is something I've been able to excel in the public elements. And I feel like it creates a really entertaining format to watch. I think that's what, it's very fast paced. It's very action packed. It's all about engagements. And on the flip side, you've got private matches. And I don't think that in BR that has ever really offered the same kind of value. And I think from what I've seen of kind of, I haven't actually played any Warzone private custom matches since it came out, which some people may find surprising. But at the same time, I feel like when you're purely trying to win in a BR format, slower play is the way to do it. And when you're competing against players with as sharp shots as yourself, a great example is kind of PUBG competitive and H1Z1 competitive tend to be really, really slow. And I feel like no BR has ever managed to quite find the right balance between rewarding kills enough, but also keeping the BR elements and rewarding placement as well. I think it's a really hard balance and I feel like it's never been quite right. I'd say one exception is Fortnite. I feel like competitive.
Yeah, I was going to ask. Do you think, though, that, I mean, that's a great example of where a lot goes on, and, you know, especially with the building element, but then because every player is so skilled that you end up with such a large amount of players in the final circles, and we saw in competitive Fortnite, you know, it started to become like heal offs was how you'd win a game. You know, obviously you can't do that in Warzone, but I equally, when I've watched private matches, you know, I was watching people like Swag and people like that, I noticed that there was a lot of people at the very end, and that's obviously quite a symptom of just people understanding how not to die.
Yeah, I think that's kind of a problem that is inherently built into the Warzone game and holds it back. I guess the key part of it is rotations. And in Fortnite, because of building, you can rotate anywhere safely with the right level of skill. Whereas on Warzone, there's a lot of situations where the zone moves left or right, and it becomes an RNG game of who has the cover, who is in the building that the zone moves to, who can move to a building in the new zone. They're going to be able to get the kills. There's no way of crossing spaces against people with good shots. And I feel like that's inherently what holds back private matches in Warzone. It becomes a huge, huge amount about zone RNG, and there's no matter how skillful you are, there's only, you know, so much you can do to get across a space without getting gunned down by other players. So I think that is kind of one of the biggest issues with Warzone private matches. And I think they're great to compete in, but I feel like spectating them, you're hoping you're spectating the team that gets the cover in the next zone when it gets small or doesn't run into kind of two other teams. There's no element of kind of skill that can save you to a certain point. So I think that's definitely what holds it back.
As someone who's obviously plays a lot of Warzone, you've obviously got a great kill death ratio. You've put the hours in because that's how you've kind of reached, you know, the top of, especially in this kind of genre. So do you then find that you're, you know, with skill-based matchmaking, where do you stand on it? Are you kind of, you must get into the hardest lobbies basically?
Yeah. So SBMM is a tough one because I totally understand why the developers are putting it into the game. It's really not hard to see. It's not hard to understand that if you've got more novice players, they're going to enjoy the game more playing against novice players. It makes total sense. And that is the majority of the player base. The high skilled kind of top 1%, they are a minority. We are a minority. And I would love to see it. My biggest concern is that I don't mind being in the toughest lobbies, but what really bothers me is that as a content creator, to the perspective of my audience, they don't really see any true difference between my lobbies and their lobbies. Yeah. And I really do feel like if it was a ranked playlist or it had some kind of ranking MMR system attached to it, it would be so nice just to at least get us something. So I'm 300-400 wins. I think I'm 400 and something wins on Warzone. And now at this point, I'm not really playing a lot of Warzone because what is in winning for me now that I've done it several hundred times? There's no real... However, if you said, okay, Vic, you're a diamond 3 player, you're in a Warzone match with, you know, other gold and diamond players, if you win this match, we'll move you to diamond 2, or your matchmaking rating will go from 2000 to 2010. That would be kind of an incentive to try my hardest. But sometimes I feel like I'm trying so hard and then what do I... And I lose. And it's just like... My audience are like, wow, you suck. You used to be good at this. And I'm just sat there like, I wish I could, like, I'm like, look, I'm playing against these guys who are incredible. Or another huge issue is these guys who are hacking or modding
that's
their game.
Massive thing, isn't it?
And it's really hard to differentiate between the two. And I don't want to sit there every game saying that person was hacking, that person wasn't. Because I'll be honest myself, I've got it wrong sometimes. There might be lag on the kill cam or I haven't seen where else I got shot from and I've died really quickly. So that kind of adds into the whole...
it's such fine margins as well. Because, I mean, look, the best cheaters are the ones that aren't going to be, like, shooting you across map one shot, are they? Like, it's going to be...
They'll just know that you're going to come around that corner at that time. And whether they did that through luck or through knowing you're there, you'll never really know. So SBMM, I guess I get it. I don't like it because I also feel like it really hinders content creation.
Yeah.
For example, I was doing a lot of fun challenges at the start of Warzone. So I was trying to win games with the crossbow only. I was trying to win games without getting kills. I was trying to win games with vehicles only, shotguns and snipers only. And that was really fun. And it got to a point where now, or I'd say for the last few months on Warzone, if you use anything but the most meta weapons, you do not stand any chance of winning. And I've been there for sometimes 6-7 hours attempting to win with pistols only, for example. Yeah. And it's I feel like the SBMM really hampers that. I would love to be able to jump into a casual playlist where I don't have to go full out. And I feel like it would create a great differentiation where those players who do want to play against the best players go hard, prove themselves. They jump in a ranked playlist. People like me who want to mess around with their friends who are less skilled or want to create a funny piece of content where we're using stupid weapons with loads of recoil, we can at least have a chance. That would be where I would love to see the mark set. That's my kind of take.
That's a good take.
And it's not great for, that's that.
No, it's good. I think it's a good take on it. So Cold War's come out. I don't know how much time you've managed to put into it, but it is multiplayer, so I guess it's slightly different. But what have been your impressions of it so far? How have you found it in compared to playing Modern Warfare, if you played multiplayer and that at all, and obviously Warzone?
So I've actually played a decent bit of Cold War multiplayer. I've been playing in some of the CDL team, some of their launch week tournaments.
Yeah.
Those have definitely been very tough because I've been playing from London against players on American servers. And I found the time to kill is incredibly fast, potentially faster than I'd like it to be. Some of the marksman rifles are a one burst kill, which when playing on 100 milliseconds of ping is an absolute nightmare. I mean, I think it's kind of ping and video games and locations is always going to be an issue. But I feel like if you do space out the time to kill a little more, it gives a lot more freedom. Look at Warzone, you've got 250 health. Yeah. I love that. Someone can start shooting at me first. I can you know, slide behind cover. I can heal up and I can fight them in my own time. And the fact that they've had either a spotting or a ping advantage on me doesn't mean I lose the fight. It was one of my favorite things about actually Halo 3. It's one of my favorite games of all time, was the shielding system. The time to kill is a bit longer. You have to consistently hit your shots. You can use movement to outplay people. So I'm not a huge fan of the low time to kill. Just going out there. I do miss some, what I thought were quite revolutionary features that Modern Warfare brought to the table. Simple things, moving doors, the dynamic doors I loved in Modern Warfare. It's such a simple thing, but
it they've got it in Fire Team, whatever it's called, don't they?
Oh, okay. I haven't played that mode.
Yeah, for some reason it's in that mode. Yeah, it's like, it's kind of like a really weird, like, mode that they've got. I played it a few times. It doesn't seem like, I didn't have any idea what was going on, and I don't think anyone else did. Yeah, there's doors in that, but they're not as fluid by any means.
Yeah, there's just a few little features that I feel like they've taken a step back on. Mounting weapons, I thought, was a really novel way of kind of changing how a weapon's used. The tactical sprint, so where you can be sprinting, and tactical sprinting gives you that customization in terms of how fast you're moving. Those are kind of a few little features that I feel like the game actually feels a little empty without. It feels a little more simplified and basic, which I know a lot of players enjoy. But for me, I thought just the amount of kind of different scenarios I've had in Warzone or Modern Warfare where there's been a door open, where you'll peek a door, where you'll use the door as cover, where you'll run in, close the door, and it'll give you that breathing time. I kind of miss that. I feel like sometimes in Cold War, I'll start shooting someone, they'll maybe get my health low. I'll run around the corner, and if I was playing Modern Warfare, I'd close that door behind me. I'd have a bit more time. They wouldn't want to push it instantly because they wouldn't know what's on the other side. Whereas in Cold War, they come flying around the corner straight away. There's nothing to stop them.
If they don't move the engine over, do you think that you'll continue to play Cold War?
As in
move the engine to Warzone, that is, which obviously at the moment, it doesn't seem like that's going to happen.
I it's hard to say. It would be completely different. I wouldn't recommend it. I don't think they're going to do that. So.
No.
But once Warzone comes out, that's the Cold War update comes to Warzone, that's going to be my primary focus, without a doubt. Yeah.
So you talked about being involved in the CDL tournaments. Now, some exciting news you had over the last couple of weeks is that you actually joined the London Royal Ravens. There we go. Tongue-tied. which is obviously the CDL team based in London. How did that come about? And, you know, what's your role in the team? What will you be doing and what can fans look out for?
Yeah, so the Royal Ravens partnership is something that for me has been in the works for months and I'm really excited about. I guess the story kind of goes back to earlier this year in the Call of Duty League season. The CDL actually brought me on as a paid partner to co-stream some of the matches from the league last year. And I really enjoyed that. It was nice to kind of have an incentive to share what's going on in the competitive scene with my audience. I think it was really rewarding for the audience. A lot of them had come to my channel through Warzone or previous Battle Royale titles, and they had no idea that the Call of Duty pro scene even existed. So we've got, I had kind of 30, 40,000 people watching me co-stream the finals. And I was saying, this is amazing. This is so intense. I didn't know this existed. I never knew there was a COD League. And I think that was that really made me realize kind of the position I'm in as a content creator, an FPS content creator, and now a Call of Duty content creator, is I'm like, okay, so look, there's this huge, huge audience of kind of more, I guess I'd say you could say more casual gamers that enjoy this and don't know it exists. So then I kind of set about realizing, okay, so I've got this audience that's, can really be invested in something like this. And how do I align this with a brand in the esports space? So that would be Rec Global, Rogue, and also the London Royal Ravens, all under the same umbrella. And my idea was to partner up with them, to get on board, have a team to really kind of support, get behind. I'll be producing content on their channel throughout the next season. I'll be co-streaming the matches they're playing. So you'll be able to kind of get my thoughts and, you know, see me supporting them. And essentially, I'm going to bring my audience with me in doing all of that. And it's just about putting a new front on their content as someone who's been making content for 10 years, helping them create ideas for future content pieces, and really just, I guess, tie the two brands together and build both brands simultaneously is the aim.
Are you hoping to get a cheeky call up to the team if need be?
Oh, absolutely not. I have in the recent days had experience of playing against the CDL players, and there is a reason they are the best at what they do. And I'm not going to sit here and pretend that I can compete with or against any of them. But I love to watch it. I've really kind of developed an interest in the league and you know, the backstories, the players, and I'm excited just to continue developing that, and very much from the sidelines.
In terms of
competing.
Covered CDL, obviously really important for you kind of going into the new season, you know, even though it's probably looking like it's going to be online. But what would you like to see from other creators when it comes to the CDL? You know, how do you think other creators can get involved? Like, could you see more people like yourself get involved in perhaps the other teams, you know, especially in the US?
So I think with creators, we've actually seen kind of a wide number of creators get involved in the kind of launch tournaments with Cold War that the leagues have created. So that kind of pro-am space has a lot of potential for growth, a lot of potential for viewership. I think one thing that the tournaments have struggled with so far is creating somewhat of a balance between who is a pro player, who is a content creator, who is a content creator who is as good as the pro players, who used to be a pro player and is now a content creator. I think it's hard to create balanced teams that kind of create close matches and the audience are really engaged in from a pro-am standpoint. But I just think more creators getting involved in those kind of games, those kind of tournaments and matches, I think is a great way to see the scene develop and grow the scene, and for them to get involved, it's creating that mix.
So we'll do one more question before we go to some quick questions, and then I'll let you go. But with the Sidemen, so are you officially the best gamer in the Sidemen now? You know, does anyone else take the crown? And what do those guys think about your involvement and obviously rise to popularity in this?
Yeah, so I would say that I don't want to sit here and say I'm the best gamer out of the Sidemen, because, for example, on FIFA, they would all embarrass me. But I'd say in terms of kind of shooter titles, I've really been the only one to kind of push in that direction, consistently cover them for the past 10 years. I've been kind of covering every shooter there has been that has been popular on YouTube. So that's kind of just, it's my niche in a way. And yeah, I think it just makes a lot of sense for me to be aligned with a CDL team. And the Sidemen is an entertainment brand. I mean, it's a brand, but it's not really a corporation. We're a group of friends really enjoy making content together. So, and we all have our kind of unique avenues that we go down. Ethan does a lot of fitness and gym type stuff. JJ does a lot of his own kind of music. Some of the other guys are into clothing and fashion. And for me, it happens to be FPS and gaming. So I think that's what makes the group so strong in a way, is we all have our kind of unique areas of interest and strength. And whenever anyone moves into those directions and becomes successful doing that, it adds to the whole group as a collective, and that's what keeps it going. So that's kind of the interaction between the two.
No, that's good. Okay, we're gonna finish this off with some quick questions. So you can, and just if you can just give a quick explanation after each one as well, it doesn't have to be too long, but favorite gun in Warzone?
The Growl, even though it got nerfed, it was elite at its time.
Favorite area of the map?
Favorite area of the map is the airfield. It's where I dropped from the start, and it's just always been a good spot for me.
What, in the hangars?
Yeah, there's actually the building on the corner in between the hangars, actually is known as Vic's building to all of the UK creators, I just always used to drop that building and it became Vic's building. Even when I'm not in the game, they're like, oh, I'm dropping Vic's building. So I've got my own place on the map.
That's a good thing to have, your own point of interest. So who is your favorite content creator that plays Warzone?
Oh, it's got to be Nick Merckx. I love the energy that Nick Merckx brings to Warzone, War Legend.
And who's the best streamer that you've played with or against?
Ooh,
or just watched?
Okay, the best streamer. It's got to be Huskers. I mean, he's the highest earning Warzone player for a reason. Mechanically incredible, great player.
One old Call of Duty map you'd like brought into Warzone's point of interest?
Okay, old Call of Duty map brought into Warzone. There's so many good ones. Tough one on the spot. I'm going to go with, it'd be a hard one to integrate, but somehow High Rise. Just the nostalgia that map brings would be so good in like a downtown area. That would be so cool.
One gun that you'd like to see buffed?
A gun I would like to see buffed. That's a tough question. I guess it would have to be just the AX-50 because I really enjoy using it, but ARs are so powerful in Warzone. I feel like snipers could do with a slight buff.
Okay, and final question. It's not Call of Duty related, but favorite sandwich?
Favorite sandwich? Oh, we'll go right now. It changes from time to time. We'll go with a tuna melt, tuna toasty.
Nice.
That would be the go-to.
All right. Well, look, Vicstar, thanks very much for taking the time out to talk to me on the Charlie Intel podcast. Where can people find you if they want to watch more of your content, if they somehow don't know where to find you already?
Well, on YouTube, Vicstar123, you want to see what I'm saying. Twitter's the place to go. And if you want to keep track of the Ravens in the next CDL season, on the London Royal Ravens YouTube channel.
Awesome. Appreciate it. Thanks for taking the time.
Cheers.
So that was Vicstar. Huge shout out to him for coming on. Really appreciate it. Great to find out more about him. Now, if you want to see anyone particular on the show, please let us know. And of course, if you're a content creator and you also want to be on the Charlie Intel show, please get in touch. We want to have the biggest names. We also want people that are passionate about Call of Duty on here. So if you want to get on the show, contact me or Keshav. My DMs are open on Twitter. I think Keshav's are as well. If not, you can at Charlie Intel. Okay, so there's not really been any Warzone news this week in this latest episode. Now, obviously, there's a lot coming up, but Keshav, do you have any insight on what's next?
Yeah, the next big Warzone thing is going to be December 10th with Season 1. So just, I think, 3 weeks out almost. New experience to come from Treyarch. You'll see Black Ops Cold War weapons in Warzone in Verdansk. So for those of you who are enjoying Black Ops Cold War weapons and overall game feel, December 10th, you'll be able to experience all that inside of Verdansk. So soon.
That's everything for this week of the Charlie Intel podcast. We'll be back, of course, next Friday. We're going to be releasing every episode every Friday going forward. You can also listen to it. You can find the social clips on Charlie Intel Twitter. You can watch the full thing on YouTube and, of course, on Deserto and Charlie Intel. If you are listening to this episode, please set auto downloads on as well. That really helps us. Keshav, thanks for taking the time out. We'll be back next week. Thanks for taking the time out to watch or listen.